Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So today I am going to talk about a book I finished a couple of days ago called Counting by Sevens by Holly Goldberg Sloan. I've been looking for books for my upcoming book club that I'm going to be hosting at my library, which will be for 7th and 8th graders. So this one was one of the ones on the list where people were like, yes, definitely, you should read this one. So I read it. And it's pretty cute. I'm going to also be distracted by the fact that my cat is here and begging for scritches. So if you hear stuff like bangs and things, that's probably her. So anyway, Counting by Sevens is our main character is Willow Chance. She's 12 years old. She's like 7th grade. Or 6th or 7th grade, and she's the odd one out. It's never outwardly stated, but I'm going to say she either has Asperger's or autism in its fullness. She struggles with working with people. She hyper-focuses on certain things. Like, for example, the number 7 calms her. She likes words that are 7 letters long. She likes, you know, anything that comes in 7s, that kind of stuff. So, there's that. There's also the fact that, like, she is obsessed with plants. And so, like, her first day of school, she decides she's going to go in her gardening outfit because that will express to everybody who she is and what she likes. And it should be great, except for, of course, she's not accepted very well. She sticks out. She stands out. She doesn't know how to work with people. She doesn't know how to be with people. She misses obvious social cues. She doesn't do well. And now she ends up getting sent to this really lazy school counselor for referral because her teacher accused her of cheating on a test because they gave her a test. Which was the state test, and she took it in like 15 minutes, finished it, and aced it, like 100% at the sucker. And so they're like, she cheated. And they send her off to this counselor, like every few days, or I'm not exactly sure of the timeline, but she has to go to this counselor. She doesn't tell her parents. She walks to the counselor, who is in a trailer off to somewhere on the side. While she's there, she also meets a few other people. She meets Mai and Quang Ha, who are Vietnamese immigrant children. Their mother has a nail salon, and Quang Ha is always causing problems. He is a difficult student, and so he is also referred to this person, and this Del guy, Del Duke. He has the appointment right before hers, and, so Mai is there as, to walk home with him when he's done, and so that's how Willow meets her, and then him, the other person she meets is Hairo, and Hairo is a taxi cab driver, and the first time she orders a taxi cab, she orders it again all by herself at 12 years old. But when he gets there, she insists on reading all of his safety paperwork and his permits and making sure that everything is good before she even gets in the car, which confuses the heck out of him. So now we also alternate our chapters. We have chapters that are third person, but they're more from Mai's point of view or Del's point of view or Hairo's point of view. And so they're doing their different things and trying to see the take on their world and how Willow affects them. So she's going to this counselor that she hasn't told her parents about. Mai is there, and so Willow decides to learn Vietnamese. And she does, pretty well, and they start having conversations in Vietnamese and start getting along. And Mai is kind of a little bit of a dictator and knows that Del is not exactly on the up and up and not really doing his job very well. So she convinces him to do stuff like take them to ice cream and that kind of things. And in the midst of it all, certain other things happen. Del, because he needs to he knows that Willow is a genius. He figures it out really fast because he gives her a number of tests, including like PSATs and simple SATs, and she aces every single one of them. So he's like, oh, this is going to be my chance. She'll be able to predict like the Wall Street stuff, but she doesn't understand what he's doing. She doesn't get it. And so she does things like test him back. Like, here he is doing this, this word program where he's like, you know, he's coming up with financial economic terms and wanting to see this word association, what she'll come up with. He's planning on using this to, you know, rule the stock market. But she's like, well, I'm going to do things intentionally wrong to see if he really knows what he's talking about. So she answers all the word association things with the opposite of what he's probably looking for. Things like that. We bump into Hiro repeatedly because she keeps calling him specifically. She trusts him now when she needs to take a cab ride. Around halfway through the book, everything just kind of goes poof, because we have this sad little out of nowhere chapter that it turns out to be Willow's adoptive parents. And the mom has finally gone to the doctor. She hasn't been told her husband, but there's this weird little dimple thing on one of her breasts, and she doesn't know what it is, and she's waited really long, and she goes in, and that doctor immediately says, like, go, you've got to go and get biopsied and get tested and go now. And it's discovered she has cancer, so she calls her husband. Her husband comes to pick her up. They're driving to go to the next thing, the next appointment or whatever. They're going to handle this. We're going to take care of it. And at the same time, she's thinking, what about Willow? What are we going to do about Willow? And then they get T-boned and killed in a car accident. So in the middle of their mental tragedy, there is a full-on tragedy. And now Willow has nowhere to go. So Del and Patty, who is Mai and Quang Ha's mother, come up with this way of letting Willow stay with Patty and Mai and Quang Ha so that she can not have to go into the foster system and not have to do this. And, she initially loses all of her caring. She doesn't care about plants. She doesn't care about Seven. She turns off. You know, her adoptive parents loved her, and now she has no one. She has no real family. Her adoptive parents had no one that they could really contact. She gives a letter to the social worker who comes in that she's carefully planned out, going, I don't want the house. I don't want this. I want this. This is, needs to be done. And this, you know, she's written it all out, but she won't talk to anybody. And so now she goes to live with Patty and Mai and Quang Ha in Del's apartment while Del is forced to move down the hall with someone else because Patty and Mai are pretty much like, you know, step in the world. So it's a story of how all these people come together for this one girl. And this one girl changes all of these people. I mean, she changes she changes the apartment building. Her influence completely redoes the entire apartment building in a way that's just like, what the heck? And she, you know, she just has all of this power that she doesn't know that she has. She's not ever aware of how much influence she has over the people around her, but they are aware of her. She is this force to be reckoned with, you know? You know, when Willow says this should be done, you kind of do it. And so it's a really interesting story that way. It's kind of a 6 degrees of separation thing. She's connected to all of these people, and all of these people are connected to her and then become interconnected with each other in ways that you would never expect. It's a quirky, it's a little weird. The cover is very interesting. It's a red fish swimming against the stream of all of these other blue fish going in the other direction, which is kind of Willow. She goes against the norm. She goes against the stream. She doesn't follow the sheep. She is her own person, but she doesn't even understand that. You know, she has no comprehension. She just doesn't understand why people are, you know, don't quite understand her. But she doesn't understand that she is different. She just is her, and she's solidly her, and she believes in herself, and she, you know, kind of goes with the flow, but also learns at the same time. And so she just moves forward, even while everybody else is going against her in the other direction. She just keeps doing her thing, which I love. I think that is absolutely awesome. Some of the book is a little odd. The pacing can be a little weird because of the alternating worldview, point of view chapters, especially because they're not labeled. So when you initially start a chapter that is from a different point of view, you may not initially realize that you are in a different point of view. It takes a few seconds. It's not, you know, once you get used to it, once you get used to that rhythm, it's not bad, but it does take a moment. You're like, wait, who? Oh, we're now from Del's point of view, or we're now from Hyro's point of view. And the difference that she makes in Hyro's life, and the difference that she makes in Patty and Mai and Quang Ha's life, and the difference that she makes in Del's life. All of these things that she does is just kind of amazing. The choices that she makes and the choices that everybody around her makes to kind of, you know, become part of her orbit. It's just really interesting. So, of course, it has a happy ever after-ish kind of thing. Things, you know, are not perfect. It's real world. It's never going to be the best ever, but you know, she gets by and she does what she does, and the people around her care for her, even if she struggles with the idea of love, and that she does, you know, the emotion isn't super there. She's so mathematically focused, logically focused. Plants are easy to understand because, you know, what the temperature of the soil, the pH balance, all that stuff. She can do that. People are harder because they have emotions, and sometimes she just doesn't ride that wave. So it's very interesting. So it has a lot of good connections. It helps. It's great. It's probably really great for other people who struggle with understanding how the world works, and who feel like they're all alone because they think differently, or they think that they think differently than everybody else, because everybody thinks that they think differently than everybody else. Like, nobody thinks these weird thoughts, right? I'm the only person. This will help, I think, with that kind of attitude, that kind of need. Willow is just an interesting character. Again, I'm kind of glad the author never specifies what her issue is, what her diagnosis may be, if it's Asperger's or autism or something else. It's never fully outright stated. It's just implied, which helps for other people who are reading the book and are feeling like, I'm the only one like this. By not having a diagnosis, you can go, look, see, I could be, you know, we could be the same. So it's just very interesting that way. Her thing with sevens turns out to also relate, in the sense that Del likes to create labels and categories for all of the kids he works with. And then he just kind of, at the beginning of this book, he has created all of these, you know, these four main labels. And basically he has a bunch of copy paste things within each label. So if this person is listed under strange, whenever he has an appointment and he has to write back and put it in documentation, he just kind of copy paste things and changes some of the words and sends it on its way, versus the, you know, the lone wolf that has a different thing. He starts off with four. He ends up at the end, of course, with seven, and puts himself in there. He realizes that he too is, you know, can be there. Whereas Willow finds the categories and says, we can't all be categorized. We can't, you know, we're not all one thing. We're multiple things. We're different things. We're all these different things around us. She realizes that more than Del, who is the person who's supposed to be her, you know, guidance, her counselor, and her, the person who's supposed to guide her and help her and everything. In the midst of it all, Quang Ha, of course, discovers his thing, and Mai discovers a little bit more powerful, how more powerful she is, and Patty starts making some choices as well. Everybody is affected by Willow, and always in a very positive way. And not everyone acknowledges how much Willow had to do with it, but she is kind of like the, you know, again, the fish going against the grain, the different fish going in the opposite direction. And they all just kind of get pulled out of their little orbits or whatever and start to go around her. So it's an interesting little story. So out of five, one being avoid, a police tape. This is stay away. Don't waste your time. Five being the most amazing thing ever. Two being three being and four being This is an to me. Again, there are a few little issues here and there that kind of drug me out of the story. Again, with the chapter changes and some of that stuff, some of the writing is a little weirdly stilted at times. Now, that may be a reflection of how Willow's thinking, and that may be part of it, but I think I also found it doing that in other people's chapters, so I wasn't sure if that was an author style or what. But overall, 4 out of 5 for Counting by Sevens by Holly Goldberg Sloan. I've heard about this for years, and I just... you know, it's been out for 10 years now, and I just was like, oh no, it's realistic fiction, it's not my thing, and not normally, but this one was pretty darn good, so I will recommend it, and it will be on my, my book list for my, 7th and 8th graders. Even though she's 12, it's, I think very well done, and will work very well for, other kids. So, that is my review. Counting by Sevens, Holly Goldberg Sloan, 4 out of 5. Again, I am the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. Library Talker on Blogspot and Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. And I hope you all have a very great day.